Chairman Brad Holton, I'll bring the hearing back to order. We've been in recess for about 10 minutes and we're back. Okay, so where we're at is we just heard the rebuttal. Is there anyone that you would want to hear from further before we consider closing public testimony?
I'm going to look at my notes here for just a minute, Chairman.
Sure.
Maybe one thing I wanted to clarify in the code, Dan. Is there anything in Canyon County Code that states that references economic viability on a parcel?
To the code, no. So our code really goes back to viable farm ground, which is talk, it just says it's marketable, but it doesn't say it economically. When we look at non-viability, we don't talk about economic viability. It's can you farm on it or not? And so the whole idea behind the non-viable was it wasn't granted to everyone. It was truly good ground that was encompassed by residential already, making it very difficult, plus the ground wasn't that great. Because of development around it, that they couldn't get the services they would normally get somewhere else. It was supposed to be a very limited type of land division.
Okay.
So in the 2000s, early 2000s, we did have something that looked at non-viable based on economic viability. And that got pulled out because it was really easy to kind of just go, we can't make money off it, can I split it? You know, and it was happening too often to where a commission at one point, I think alders were part of that commission at one point, so that took it out and said, no, not enough of that. So we haven't had economic viability in our code since 2009 or 2008.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, thanks for putting that on the record, Dan. I need just one more second here, Chairman.
Sure. And you can ask DSD staff in deliberations, just perfectly fine.
Okay, and I can do that, I guess.
Pardon me?
I could do that.
Yes, yeah, you're welcome to do that.
And through the chair, during the break, the applicant did want to state that they're willing to work on lot sizes if you believe that maybe the one of those lot sizes is too small, they're willing to make it bigger and lose a lot or something like that just to make it a bigger lot size.
Okay. All right.
And I will ask one more question. Dan, when is the last time that there was we need clarification. When is the last time that there was a rezone or a change from ag in this area, which is the reason I'm asking? I would tie it back to Canyon County Code and the transition areas and development trends, that kind of a thing.
Okay. Let me see if I can't find the nearest one for you.
Okay.
So just take me a sec. So the only ones I know of are north of this area near Melba City proper. And I'm trying to see how far away that is. So we've had like this old zoning that's been there forever, right next to Melba, that had this area that's been something that could be annexed for a long time. It just had never been used. It's been in our code forever, and we never taken it out. The only one I know of is a conditional rezone to a rural residential, and this is pretty far away. This is the northeast area of next to the city proper, and some of it has already been annexed, but it was to create 7 lots, I believe. And I believe that is, if I can get a measurement, let's see here. About 5,000 feet, 6,000 feet from this property. And then the next one was further up. Back in the day, we did a lot of conditional splits to get one more house with, as long as it preserves a certain amount of ag, we can kind of make it work. And there's a couple of those, but those are even further away.
Yep.
Most of our decisions have been north of the Melba City proper.
Okay, thank you. And then I was looking for, and I just found it, the subdivision and lot report, which provides a little bit more information on platted subdivisions, a number of acres, number of lots, that kind of thing. That's, I'll just reference for the record, Chairman, it's Exhibit E.2E. So thank you for the information, Dan. It also restates that the last Kenyon County subdivision that was platted was in 2009 with an average acre lot size of 16.54 acres, if that's, if I'm reading that correctly.
Through the chair, yeah, I think I had it on my slide. This, the subdivisions that, that currently exist are 2003-2009 with a 12.21 acre average lot size.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we close public testimony.
I second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded to close public testimony. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. We are now going to go into a period of deliberation. And at this time, I would remind the audience decisions by the board must be based on the information in the record and the criteria outlined in Idaho state law and Canyon County ordinances. No new information is to be presented or discussed, and we will not take comments from the audience. It is important that we are able to discuss our opinion and make specific findings, and therefore, please be respectful as the board discusses the matter.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I would like to propose an idea to basically split the baby.
Okay.
And that would be to find in the affirmative for the applicant on the two northern parcels and deny the southern parcel.
I would find that that could be workable in me getting to a place that, to make a decision. When I look at the contour map on Exhibit 2E, or excuse me, Exhibit E.2J, the southern parcel has less elevation change than the top two northern parcels. They have significantly more contour lines flowing through them, making them more challenging. So I could entertain that for going forward. Commissioner Van Beek, do you have comment on that?
So that would eliminate parcel R2814610. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm proposing that we say yes and then we say no.
Yeah. The one where the red dot is at, that would exclude that parcel. To me, it also addresses a public input concerns about creating to me, that field creates a transition area in an area that is still large-scale farming. And the other two parcels to the north have already been cut up significantly.
And Chairman, I don't disagree. I'll just toss out a different topic for discussion on this. And that I've already referenced to when asking Dan. He could have identified... I sensed that there wasn't a lot of cooperation on identifying areas. Obviously, not all of this ground is non-viable. There was not an interest in looking at what sections of it to obtain division for parts of this ground. He could have gotten six lots out of it. And the concern that I share with the people that are farming, and I appreciate Commissioner Brooks's position of trying to figure out how to help Mr. Hoagland, who's potentially at the end of his farming career and wants to go do something else. I get that. But our code also addresses the impact to surrounding agriculture and not impacting their ability. So this one is a tough one because we're trying to balance two interests on that. But I believe, and I would like to, I guess, have Dan, who sees a lot of these, even though our code states, for me, words are cheap, there has to be backed up with action or no action, but to say that it does not create spot zoning, I think that future boards or other people looking in an area where there is not a trend toward residential development, you could potentially do an administrative division, get those lots split off. People could go have their rural lifestyle. Mr. Hoagland gets to go buy other property that he wants, and we don't change a zoning set designation that's a gateway to potentially more zoning in this area. So I think we still see value in farming in Melba. I think that's true out there, even though the climate in Canyon County overall is changing. And I think we're at a where we need to ask the question, are we going to preserve any of those rights? I do think it's, I'll say what I believe to be true, because we're friends with people that run beef cattle and dogs and beef cattle. You're kind to corral them. The people that I know, they just shoot them and tell them, don't have your dogs come back. They're not going to anyway. So,
amen.
I am in agriculture. Our ground is row cropped. I've done dairy cattle. We're friends with beef cattle people. To put this in proximity with a rezone is going to alter what happens in agriculture in this area. And I think that there are alternatives to rezoning an area that is still, there are parts of this ground that qualify as productive ag.
Okay. I'm going to go off on a different jaunt just for a second, but it is tied in, believe it or not. Dan, you made the comment that you came upon a technicality about the division, the number of divisions of lots on the middle parcel, not the very north one, but the second one down. You said that there is one too many land divisions, and one lot would have to be rescinded to make this even viable. So it's basically the ag only 24.92 acres. Those divisions would not be allowed. Two of the three could be allowed. Okay. All right. And what was the comment about moving? My mind's muddled about what you said about moving a buildable lot or whatever to the north.
After you do your normal land division, the one you're granted through the ag zone,
okay.
There's only two other choices you can try for if you can qualify, which is non-viable land division or buying a building permit from somebody and transferring it to your property.
Okay. Okay.
That's how you can gain an extra spot. But there's some code that they have
code to go through that
as well.
Right.
So it's not granted for everyone. It's not guaranteed for everyone.
Okay. All right. So under this consideration, number one is not within the permit being requested. Number two is? Am I understanding this correctly?
Correct, and I'll just quickly go through what you're seeing.
Okay.
Just to remind you. So in the blue area, those just show the splits that happen, one and two.
Okay.
That's the lot. And so
all right.
Two area can get a total, so you can split up an original parcel up to four through the land division process, meeting one of the requirements through there. And so in this case, they can do three lots, creating the total of four, one, two, three, four. The yellow, they already have two lots plus an ag lot. If they were to make that ag lot divisible and to build on it, then they can only get two more lots to create a total of four off of that original parcel. And then the green one, saying they only did two, they can get a total of three lots, creating a total of four at the end of the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And
thanks for the clarification.
Chairman, can I just add something from our code that I think is worth putting on the record? And we all know it. It's a Captain Obvious moment. But on the purpose of zones, the purpose of the R2, which is, the RR, encourage and guide growth in areas where a rural lifestyle may be determined to be suitable. And so it does fit in that, but I think it has to fit for everyone. And the Planning and Zoning Commission found that when the city is closer, and I know it's 0.33, but it was stated that there didn't appear to be the opportunity for the city to extend services out to that area. One of the questions that I wanted to ask, and I think I know the answer, but Mr. Hoagland has a letter in here that talks about blasting some of that ground and how difficult that was because of the substrate and all of that. But on an individual well and septic proposal, if it's difficult to blast through that, how do you create drain fields? How do you have an ability for a landowner to successfully have that?
Well, you have this study that's here. That would show areas that you wouldn't put a drain field in and areas that you could.
Okay.
So there's been research that has been done. I'm referring to exhibit B.4.
Thank you.
Through the chair, we got a letter from Southwestern Health who didn't have any concerns about that. So
okay.
They felt that that was detrimental. They would have imposed this or had some serious concerns.
Thanks for that reminder, Dan.
Okay, so so on the middle parcel, it's only available for two lots instead of the three drawn.
Correct.
Okay.
Chairman, goes back to through the chair. That's when I brought up those conditions that maybe because of that, either we're allowing a smaller lot size within the blue so they can get their total amount, or you really want to lock it down to a certain lot size, which they may lose a lot. So it may not be eight, they may have to do seven instead. Or if you want to lock it down to a certain lot size, something 6 acres or greater, which I believe that is the lot of the land divisions that have taken place in that area, there were 5 acres or greater, most of them. So, I mean, I'll just show you real quick the in this map here, you can see the lot size it says. That's our lot classification. You can see where some of the divisions were taken, and most of the divisions taken within that area are that light blue and dark blue, and that equates to some of that is 3 to 4 acres, but a lot of them are 5 to 6 acres or greater.
Out. Right, right.
And so that was the other thing. I think the condition's written just to see if it matches what is existing. At least some of the land divisions that have been taken out there, that would be the average lot size you would see out there for a land division so far.
Chairman, would you refresh my memory on the exhibit number you're looking at, B something?
It is exhibit B4 that would show likely areas that could be built and likely areas that would be problematic for a drain field.
Thank you.
So hearing Commissioner Brooks that there's one less potential lot here, without getting into a problem, are you still advocating to consider these two northern lots?
Yeah, Dan, how many, if we went through with what I proposed, how many lots are in the going to be approved?
So it's up to the commission, but again, this upper lot could have a total of 3 parcels. This one can only have 2, so 5, if you get rid of this parcel here, that what you're recommending. But it's up to you. If you allow the 3 splits up here, it'll be a lot less than the 5-acre lot size. You're looking at maybe a 4-acre average lot size right there, or less. I think it's only 11 acres right there, so yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still in favor of what I proposed.
Okay. Knowing that this would go down to 2, and if you chose to put a restriction, this would stay at 2.
Yeah, so there'd be 5 total parcels, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this upper one can have, if approved to rural residential, this could have 3, and then this can have 2.
So this is going to sound strange, but going back and looking at his density map, I'm really not comfortable with making three lots at the top because of their, the minimum lot size could get pretty small. If I remember testimony, there was an issue about the natural division that he did because of facilities coming through there. I suppose you could make a land division that went across that natural division. So we have 7.9 acres, which is almost 8, and we have one that's almost 4, so you have an almost 12. And if you divided it by 3, then you could have an almost 4 times 3.
So what? Basically keep A1, A2, B3, and combine B1 and 2?
Yeah.
I'd get on board with that.
Okay. Because I'm uncomfortable with the smaller divisions. The whole point is the highest and greatest use without creating a transition area that is already at a higher density. So.
Through the chair, so it would just be, if you go that route, just helping staff create the conditions for that. So that sounds like it's just limited to 4 lots.
Yes.
At that end of the day,
yeah.
That decision would have to include a property boundary just to move that boundary down to be part of this upper lot, and then we'll just make that part of the other lot, and then that's all they get, kind of thing. It's part of the land division. We'll identify it as a property boundary adjustment and land division at that point, creating those 4 lots.
Mr. Van Beek, are you game to try to think that through?
I'm probably going to have Dan say that one more time, and then this still requires a conditional rezone, correct?
So at the end, if you do approve this is a conditional rezone, so it would come with a development agreement to be signed by that applicant. If they decide not to sign it, we'd have to come back and make another decision or deny, but this is your decision. You've heard all the testimony, and so we would have to, I was just showing you, I'll go back to the recommended conditions. What we would have to do is number 2, change it to a maximum of 4 lots on the identify the 2 parcels, and then just say, just a total of 4 parcels, 2 from the top, 2 from the bottom, and then let the applicant work that out. And then it's up to you if you want to add the other stuff, like no secondary, or if you want building envelopes or not. But if not, that should be enough to condition. I think the first 3 are the ones that were more important, just to make sure we're capturing all the agency comments and understanding that they still have to meet the other codes, so applying for a land division, applying for your building permits after, things like that, and that they have to maintain it based on what you're asking, which is a total of 4 lots on those 2 lots only.
Correct.
Yeah. And Chairman, I will just say I respect the process of negotiating. I still think it's problematic for me, this commissioner, to spot zone, rezone something out here. I feel compassion for people that are caught in that are end of a farming or want to go do something different. It's difficult. These are generational farms. I don't disagree. I think that there would still have been a way to market this property as desirable without creating a different zone. So if you and Commissioner Brooks move forward with doing that, given the size of the lot reduction on that, I would encourage you to eliminate the ability for secondary homes in that area just because of the rural nature that's already out there.
I would be amenable to that, Commissioner Van Beek, absolutely.
Okay.
Because the issue for me is transitional, and when you're looking from the 10,000 foot down, these 2 northern plots are definitely the candidates for transitional. The southern one is not. So All right, so under that premise, Dan, if we would look at amending number two, that it specifies the two northern lots, that it we're good with the minimum average lot size of 5 acres and four lots, and that no accessory dwelling units. And they have to meet all the other criterias of the law for egress and driveways and all of that, is goes without saying, without need. Are you okay with that?
I can live with it.
Notice he didn't ask you if you were happy.
I know that. That's, this is a,
all right,
best job in the world for not making everybody happy, so.
Yes. Okay, and then Dan, I guess that we have to make a finding that we are not entertaining any divisions on the southern lot, and give that
right.
Number.
And through the chair, if you look at my staff report, which was in support, a lot of it I think you were supportive with. We'll just have to, in the language, remove. You'll find that consistent subject to the removal of that parcel,
yes,
and the reduction to the lots. And so I'll show the history of what was presented, what was the thinking behind that, and then the result. Okay. So I could change the PNZ's findings for 2, 3, and 4, which found it to not be consistent with the surrounding area or more appropriate,
right,
and then change it based off the restrictive conditions that were placed on there and the removal of that one parcel.
So literally, I could find agreement with the PNZ on the southern parcel, but I could not find agreement with the two northern parcels.
Agreed.
Commissioner Van Beek, do you have any other input?
I don't, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You want to stab at a motion?
Mr. Chairman, based upon the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order contained herein, I move that we, the Board of County Commissioners, approve case CR 2025-0002, conditional rezone of parcel R28146010 and R28146010D, changing the application to a maximum of four parcels, with everything else that we have enumerated on the record.
Yeah, we would be excluding that.
And then, a denial of R28279010, because we cannot find in the affirmative that it meets all 8 criteria. And we would also move the deny secondary residences on the 4 parcels that we are approving, or up to 4 parcels.
And the recommended conditions.
And the rest of the recommended conditions.
Okay. All right, do we have discussion? Are you understanding where we're at?
Yes.
You're good with your position. All right. I would second the motion with all of those nuances that are stated. I'd also say in the motion that the final findings of facts and conclusions of law will be correlated and brought back to us in printed form by DSD staff in the days and weeks to come, as soon as we can get it back on the agenda. And so I second the motion. So with that made and seconded, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those in denial?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. And so we will, if there's no other business, I don't know of any, I would make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. All right, we are adjourned. Thank you.